This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Start your weekend off right. This is BetQLU with RJ Choppy, Chris Mack, and Kayla Canarim on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
Ho, 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 merry bowl season. Welcome in to another edition of BetQLU. This one, a supersized edition, 2 full hours previewing as many bowl games as we can. We do this for you this holiday season because while we hope you're finding absolutely everything under the tree or in the stocking that you hoped for, we've got 21 games we're going to preview in the course of the next 2 hours, live across the country on the BetQL Network, wherever you may be in the world, on your Odyssey app, AUDACY, download it today. Listen to us live every weekend, and of course, download the podcast as well. Be sure to subscribe. Watch us if you'd like to on Twitch, twitch.tv/BetQL, or on YouTube as well. I'm Chris Mack. She's Kayla Canarim. He's RJ Choppy. And like I said, we've got 2 hours of College Bowl previews for you. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, guys. Kayla, let's start with you out in beautiful Southern California. How have your holidays been? And are you looking forward to the rest of bowl season?
I am. Thank you for asking, Chris. Been a little under the weather this week. My voice will hopefully make it through the show. But yeah, love the holiday season. Love bowl season. Got to work the LA Bowl last weekend. So was in with the fans. Felt the excitement. Thought I went back to college. I was doing my Golden Girl sideline routines during the pep rally. It was a time. Bowl season's nice. The best season.
Nice. Well, you will be even happier to know. I'm sure this will warm your holiday spirit heart that Kansas is on the docket today. So you'll be able to get out some of those Grinchy thoughts that you got. You can get those out later. RJ, Merry Christmas. Perfect. Happy holidays. How's it been for you so far?
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, all the things. It's been good. I had a little bout with food poisoning, which hadn't had that before. Hope to never have that again. Perfectly honest with you. But like I've always said, I'm one stomach bug away from my goal weight, and I'm proud to say that I've hit it. So we're good to go.
We're all very proud of you. Nice work by RJ Choppy. We, like I said, have over 20 games to talk about. We are going to take you through the games of really the entire holiday week, post-Christmas, pre-New Year's. Next weekend, when we're back to our regular one-hour edition of BetQLU, we'll jump in on not just the college football playoff. We will touch on those playoff games towards the end of the show today, but we'll jump in on some of the New Year's Day games as well. We'll touch on a couple of them here as well. Schedule a little wonky because of Christmas and New Year's landing on a Sunday. So obviously the NFL going to dominate the days that they want to dominate. We talk college football with you though. And let's, as I said, friends, dive right in. The day after Christmas, Boxing Day in many parts of the world. For us, it's Quick Lane Bowl Day, Ford Field in Detroit, a 2:30 Eastern kick, 6-6 New Mexico State Aggies against 6-6 Bowling Green, who's laying 3.5. Low total on this one, 48.5. New Mexico State, this is all about the bounce back for them, guys. Their first bowl game since 2017, the last 4 seasons, including 2020, when they only got to play 2 games and the season was suspended. They went 7-30, so a big bounce back for them going 6-6. Bowling Green hasn't been good on the ground, and they've given up a good amount on the ground. So the question may just be, why are they favored in this one? New Mexico State has covered 5 of their last 6 as well. Let's get our feet wet before we dive maybe all the way in on some crazier games. Let's go to Detroit, RJ, for the Quick Lane Bowl. Where are you at on this one?
I'm going with New Mexico State. It's one of my, I have a little pizza money parlay. It's the last leg of it that I need to help me pay off an 18-1 bet. But yeah, New Mexico State, I don't know why Bowling Green is the 3.5-ish point favorite in this one. But I do like New Mexico State in this game. You know what I love most about these early games? You know, the games that have already happened or the ones that happened before you get to the big dogs. When you start throwing in a group of five teams, you're not getting the opt-outs that
right.
you get, say, in a mm-hmm. in a New Year's Six game that's going to feature, you know, Alabama, K-State, or Clemson, or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to get some opt-outs from those players that are going to be looking towards their future the next round. You may get one or two guys that are going to opt out of these games. A lot of the players that are going to play in this game, and I think you can use these for, you know, as opposed to, like, some of the bigger games where, you know, the give-a-s level comes into play.
Right.
These guys are using this as extra data points for NFL draft teams.
That's a good call.
And so, you know, well, thank you. Most of my calls usually are pretty good. I'll miss every now and then. And, you know, hopefully this isn't one of them. But, you know, I'm taking New Mexico State and the points here.
Yeah, and I think it's a good point to make about, you know, look, the portal affects everyone. So everybody's probably got a portal player or two that's either on the way out or thinking about being on the way out. But the draft opt-outs, like you said, New Mexico State and Bowling Green players not lining up to get drafted the first or second day of the draft. So even if they are thinking about going pro, they need to put more on tape. New Mexico State, Kayla, 4-0 against the spread this season in games that come with more than 6 days of rest. This obviously qualifies for that. So are you on the train with RJ and I of questioning why the heck Bowling Green is favored here?
I sure am, you guys. New Mexico State definitely found their footing under new head coach Jerry Kill after winning just 7 games over the last 4 years. With that said, Jerry is also 1-5 against the spread in bowl games, but Bowling Green is 0-3 against the spread as the favorite this season. They did go 4-7-1 against the spread. Furthermore, the Falcons are 0-3 when playing as the 3.5-point favorite when you factor in the Bowling Green's lack of a run game. Next to New Mexico State star Thomas Jumaane Jones, I'm leaning with the Aggies in this one. Even though they barely got in a bowl, I like them to cover.
Yeah, good
and
call.
I like the over.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Bowling Green, I think last 5 bowl games have all gone over the total. So that's a good call on that one as well. And you mentioned star Thomas and Jumaane Jones, 11 touchdowns. They've combined 4 Bowling Green, terrible against the run. So I think we're all on New Mexico State here. To at the very least cover, if not win outright. All right, we're moving along, and we go to the day after Christmas. Tuesday afternoon, 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific, early start at the old Crampton Bowl in Montgomery, Alabama. They call it the Camilla Bowl. Georgia Southern, 6-6. Buffalo, 6-6. Buffalo getting 3.5. Big total on this one, 66.5. Kyle Van Treese used to be the quarterback at Buffalo. Now he's the quarterback at Georgia Southern. He wasn't just the quarterback at Buffalo for like 15 minutes. He started 25 games for them over 5 years. So here we go. One of our sixth-year super seniors ultimately made the move to Statesboro and Georgia Southern this year, completing at 61% for almost 4,000 yards, 25 tutties, 15 picks. Buffalo, though, has failed to cover in each of their last 4 games. So maybe this pushes us all in the Georgia Southern direction. Kayla, where are you?
Short and sweet. I like Georgia Southern to cover in this one. As mentioned, you've got Kyle Van Treese going up against his former team, who I think he's going to want to prove something against. Aside from that, Buffalo is dealing with injuries and the transfer portal. And I like the Eagles' run game led by Jalen White. Plus, they are 3-0 against the spread in the last 3 games as the favorite. However, guys, the underdog in this particular bowl has gone 4-1 against the spread over the last 5, but I'm going to disregard that, and I'm sticking with the Eagles here. As for the total, both teams average a combined 62 a game. And when you factor in what Buffalo will be missing, I think I'm actually leaning the under in this one.
Yeah, this will be one of those ones that's interesting to see how the weather affects it. In that Buffalo probably used to playing in some weather, and as the weather lingers through certain parts of the country this week, perhaps even down in Alabama, does it lean one way or the other? Georgia Southern, though, 15-8 against the spread in non-conference games over the past 5 seasons, RJ. Georgia Southern, yeah. Or Buffalo?
I like Georgia Southern in this one. They've got a pro money advantage, like 14%. A lot of the money, a lot of the tickets rolling in on Georgia Southern, but really it's, you know, it's about the quarterbacks, it's about the offense. Neither defense can stop a nosebleed, but Georgia Southern's offense just seems to be clicking a little bit better. So give me Georgia Southern in the points. I'm with Kayla. I think I would lean under. 67 is a lot of points. I mean, this might come in close, might come in around 64, 65 in terms of the total points scored in this game. But I like Georgia Southern, and I'll state the under two.
All right, same day, right after that one's over, or right about the time that one is over, in your backyard, RJ, at Gerald J. Ford Stadium in Dallas, the Serve Pro First Responder Bowl, a 3:15 Eastern, 2:15 Central kick, another matchup of 6-6 teams, 6-6 Utah State, 6-6 Memphis. The Tigers favored by more than a touchdown here, 7.5 total, sitting right around 60, 61, 60.5, that range, depending where you find it. Memphis started the year hot, 4-1, huge upset over Mississippi State in Starkville, RIP Coach Leach, but they struggled with the better half of their schedule late, even if the games were close. Lost 4 in a row to Houston, ECU, UCF, Tulane. That's no good for the conference schedule, but by just a combined 20 points. Utah State's defense, on the other hand, they've allowed less than 200 yards passing per game, and should get back their starting corners, A.J. Carter, Michael Onyanwu. So where do we lean on Utah State, Memphis, especially Memphis not performing well in bowl games, at least against the spread anyway, 1-5 in their last six, RJ?
They haven't performed well, but, man, I'll tell you, BetQL's got this as a kind of a blowout here by Memphis, you know, over a 10-point spread. According to them, it should be over 10. Everywhere you look, no matter what, Memphis should have an advantage. They should have an advantage at skill position. They should have an advantage on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball overall as well. I think this is it's not really – there's not going to be a home field advantage in either one. I mean, Memphis technically is closer, but it's still, what, 9-10 hours away. I do like Memphis to cover. It's a lot of points for a bowl game. I hate giving up more than a touchdown. That extra hook is kind of scaring me, but I like Memphis in the 7.5.
Kayla, there are some quarterbacks that have put up some numbers in the American Conference this year. Seth Hannigan of Memphis finished fourth in passing yards. I want to say third or fourth in quarterback rating in that conference too. So the offense can put the ball through the air, can put some points up on the board that way, I should say. But again, it comes back to Utah State's defense, and are they able to shut it down?
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, all the betting stats are against Memphis in this one. They are 1-5 against the spread in their last six bowls, but all the on-field stats are against Utah State. So what does one do? Well, I'm going to roll with the Tigers here to cover at -7. Utah State is not only working with a depleted roster due to injuries and opt-outs, but their passing offense is weak, to say the least, and I worry that they will struggle putting points on the board. So give me Memphis all day in this one. As for the total, is that number doable? Yes, since both teams are close to this combined average. But is it doable working with players who will be out on the field? Last year, this one sat at 59, and I think this year it will do about the same. So I'm also leaning under in this one.
All right, the final one in this segment. We're going to try to get in three or four games a segment here during this special two-hour bowl preview special edition of BetQL. This will be the third in what is a quadruple header that day, I think, Tuesday, December 27th. A 6:45 Eastern start, the Ticket Smarter Birmingham Bowl. And yes, I'm going to try to get in all the ridiculous sponsors for these games at Protective Stadium in Birmingham. 7-5 East Carolina, the Pirates favored by 7.5 against 9-3 Coastal Carolina. Coastal, a weird up and down season because of their quarterback situation. Grayson McCall's decided to go to the transfer portal. They also lose their coach. And I wonder, with Jamie Chadwell taking the Liberty job and Chad Staggs, I think, has taken over in the interim role, just how focused they are on this one. East Carolina, I think, probably feels like they want to take on the upstart team from down in South Carolina, down at the beach. And I think this is a good opportunity. I think this is a good opportunity for ECU to maybe run away with one. 7.5, like you said earlier, RJ, nobody likes to lay that hook, but I think I'm going to do it with ECU in this one. What about you?
Yeah, I am going to do it, man. I'll tell you, when you're not playing your quarterback, that's the thing, right? You know, Grayson McCall's been there all year. You don't play your quarterback, you are a completely different team. You might be playing a different sport. It may look like it, right? It may look ugly. If they want to win this game, they're going to have to muck it up, make this an ugly game. And you factor in they don't have a coach. They're a mess. And we saw what happened. Even if Chadwell was there, we saw what happened with Dion last week with Jackson State, and they just didn't play well. Once the coach is gone, you know, a lot of the attention's gone. These players are already in the transfer portal. a lot of times. So, yeah, give me I will fade Coastal on this one.
Yeah, you got a backup quarterback who's only thrown 37 passes this year, Kayla and Jarrett Guest. You got a coaching staff that's in flux. The head man out. They got stomped by James Madison, and that was before the Sun Belt Championship. So they've kind of skidded into this one, the Chanticleers have. So I don't know if you're with RJ and I or if you've got some hidden vigorish on this one.
Well, my first question was, what's a Chanticleer?
Let's look it up. Teams... Okay, go ahead.
Okay,
you take while I look up Chanticleer.
Thank you. Okay. Also, I heard conflicting reports. I heard Grayson McCall said he would play, but it's his health that's questionable. Do we know if that's confirmed or not? Anyway, I don't love the uncertainty at coach or quarterback for the Chanticleers. Coastal's defense is also lacking key players. So when you factor in ECU quarterback and running back, I feel good about the Pirates in this one, especially if McCall is out. If he's in, I might lean Coastal. So I'm a little TBD on this one, but as it stands right now, I like East Carolina.
A name
given
and for
what it's worth,
rooster.
The favorite. Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Especially in fairy tales is what the Google dictionary tells me. A fairy tale rooster.
Yeah.
Not Cinderella.
What is the state of South Carolina's obsession with members of the
Gamecocks, Chanticleers? Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Huh. This is something we have to get to the bottom of, and perhaps we will later here in our BetQLU 2-hour bowl special. As we work our way through the entire slate of games being played that week between Christmas and New Year's. Coming up next, a couple of teams that had possible playoff hopes dashed throughout the course of the season. A team who may just be happy to be here. Plus, Duke, UNC, and Kansas. Wait, is this a season-starting hoops tournament or is this bowl season? I don't know. Alongside RJ Choppy and Kayla Canarum, I'm Chris Mack. This is BetQLU.
This is BetQLU with RJ, Chris, and Kayla here on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
Bet to BetQLU with RJ Choppy, Chris Mack, and Kayla Canarum on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
All right, some very important updates if you were not with us during the break, and you couldn't have been with us during the break because the mics were off and the cameras were off. First of all, it looks like Grayson McCall is likely to play in Coastal Carolina's bowl game, the Birmingham Bowl, against ECU. So take that for what it's worth if you're still considering laying that 7.5 with the Pirates against the Chanticleers. Also, we now know that the Chanticleer, thank you, Intrepid Producer Zach, is derived from Geoffrey Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, specifically the Nun's Priest Tale in the early 1960s.
Oh.
Don't pretend like we read books, RJ. You know neither of us do.
I had to read that book in high school.
Same. Honors English.
Okay, so I'm the dumb one. I never got to that point. Coastal's athletic teams were known as the Trojans until a group of Coastal students and their English professor, basketball coach Cal F. Maddox, brought up the idea of a new mascot. There you go. We also decided that Holiday by Madonna should be played during the holiday season, even though it's not a holiday song, technically. I don't know. These are the important discussions that we have here on BetQLU every weekend. This is a supersized edition of BetQLU. I'm Chris Mack alongside RJ Choppy and Kayla Canarum. We are taking you through a slew of bowl games to get you ready with all the angles on how to play these things. In some cases, you got opt-outs. In some cases, you got guys in the portal. In some cases, guys have already transferred. In some cases, guys have decided to stick around. We're all over the place trying to keep you abreast of the information and tell you where our best bets are going to be, which we'll do by the end of the show, and even take another early peek at those CFP bowl games, the semifinals coming up towards the end of the show. But let's dive back into the full bowl mania slate of games during the week between Christmas and New Year's, I should say, and the nightcap to that quadruple header on Tuesday, December 27th, 10:15 Eastern, 7:15 Pacific start at Chase Field in Phoenix. It's the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. I'm convinced we should be calling this the Guaranteed Chaos Bowl because you got new Badgers coach Luke Fickell trying to take over kind of on the fly. He's going to coach this game while slowly announcing replacements for the existing staff, some of whom will be a part of the game, some of whom won't. It's like trying to change lines in hockey, even though the guy on the ice doesn't want to actually come off the ice. Then we have the slew of portal entries on both sides. Wisconsin's losing Graham Mertz, Keanu Benton, Nick Herbig. Mertz announced recently he's gone to Florida. Benton and Herbig are on the draft prep. Oklahoma State, 11 scholarship players have entered the portal, including Spencer Sanders, their quarterback, Dominic Richardson, the running back, and, oh, their leading tackler, starting linebacker Mason Cobb. So, it again, this feels like utter chaos and makes it really hard to read this one, guys. So I'll toss the hot potato to you, RJ Choppy.
Man, I have nothing for Wisconsin here. Like I know they're favored. I have no idea how they're favored. I mean, this team, they got beat by Iowa. They scored 10 points against Iowa. Like they allowed Iowa to score 24. Iowa doesn't score 24 points against air, and they did here in this game against Wisconsin. I know Oklahoma State's got a real struggle down the stretch. Their record though, 7-5, is I think a little bit. Downgraded. They're a better team than that. They're a much better team than that. This was a top 10 team at one point this year. I know they've got some portal guys missing, quarterback issues, but I just think the athletes that Oklahoma State's going to throw out there are so much better than what Wisconsin's going to roll with. I'll take Oklahoma State in the points.
Yeah, Oklahoma State, I think, like you said, RJ, a victim of recency bias, maybe losing four of their last five of their last seven. But you look at the losses, and some of them, I mean, they lose to TCU on the road, Kansas State on the road. Those aren't bad losses. Okay, could you argue that going to Oklahoma and losing to the Sooners in a down year or losing at home to West Virginia especially are bad losses? Yeah, but it feels like they're a team that plays to the level of their competition. And Kayla, Wisconsin, they failed to cover in three straight. And I think to our greater point, it just feels chaotic around the Badgers right now.
It does, which is why I'm torn in this one. My heart wants to lean Big 12, especially when OSU has one of the best winning percentages in bowl games, sitting at 21-11. We didn't get to talk about this yet. I don't think I'm a huge Luke Fickell fan. As we know, he will be coaching, but I can't tell if that's going to actually help or hurt the Badgers' chances. And again, like we said, there are so many players out for this one, including both starting quarterbacks. So just looking at that, I think that's going to hurt the Pokes more than it will Wisconsin. OSU, though, has done better against the spread this season. But I think with the excitement surrounding their new coach, I actually am going with the Badgers to cover at 3.5 and get the Luke Fickell era started off with a bang.
That would be huge for him to get things moving before he even gets to the offseason, essentially, especially, again, with all of the players either entering the portal or headed off to draft prep on both of these teams. Again, Wisconsin favored by 3.5, the 6-6 Badgers against 7-5 Oklahoma State in the guaranteed rate bowl. Total low on this one. Not expecting the offenses to do too much. Just 43. I think I'm leaning the over on that one, despite the chaos on both sides. All right, you'll go to sleep after that one on Tuesday night. You'll wake up Wednesday morning and have another quadruple header of bowl action that'll start 2 Eastern, 11 Pacific, with the Military Bowl at Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium in Annapolis, Maryland. This is actually a really good one, I think, for the Military Bowl. I mean, 8-4 Duke, favored by 3 against 9-4 UCF. Duke's first bowl appearance in 4 years. Riley Leonard, 4th in the ACC in passing, almost 2,800 yards. Was only sacked 15 times because he's mobile, added over 600 yards on the ground. John Rhys-Plumlee has announced he will return for UCF next year, but he has been banged up the final few weeks of the regular season. Question there is he at 100%? Both teams 4-1 in their last 5 games, Kayla. I think this is actually a sleeper of a really good matchup.
I agree. I would say UCF gets the coaching advantage here while Duke gets the player advantage. And with that, I'm going to go player advantage. UCF will be without too many key weapons, including their top receiver, their top linebacker, and starting defensive back. Not to mention, as you said, Plumlee is dealing with an injury. It is expected to play, but probably won't be at 100%. Then you have Duke quarterback Riley Leonard, who as a sophomore completed 64% of his passes for almost 2,800 yards and 20 touchdowns. And then he added another 11 on the ground. Not a lot of money is actually going Duke's way in this one, which is why I'm going to play contrarian and pick them to cover.
I like it.
Oh, going the contrarian. Okay, I was going to go the other way. With UCF, I look at their their proximity to recruits in South Florida, Central Florida, that their depth that they're going to have in this, the kind of athletes they're able to get, might be too much for Duke to handle, wear them down a little bit, especially at the skill position. And I know they're missing some guys, but the skill position should be really a bit of an advantage outside of maybe quarterback for UCF. So I'll take UCF with the points.
Interesting angle on this one. Total sitting at 62.5. The under has hit in four of Duke's last five games and three of UCF's last five games. If you're looking for a reason to believe that maybe the defenses can hold up in this one, although I don't know if either team's track record necessarily, when you look at the numbers, would hold up there. All right, Wednesday afternoon, 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 Pacific, in Memphis, the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. Never has 6-6 felt so victorious. 6-6, Kansas Jayhawks, they're back, baby. Their first meeting against an SEC opponent since 1988, a shot at their first win versus an SEC team since they beat Vandy in 1985. They've lost six of their last seven, though, including the Sunflower State showdown with K-State, despite having Jalen Daniels back for that regular season finale. I'm not sure if Kansas is reeling or just going through growing pains in Lance Leipold's first year. I do know Arkansas, also 6-6, just 2-4 against ranked teams. Four of their six losses were tight, came by a total of just 9 points. But that what makes me wonder if they'll be able to pull it out in a game where they're without Bumper Pull due to injury. They're without another linebacker, Drew Sander. Jaden Hasselwood is bypassing the game after declaring for the draft. And they just lost defensive coordinator Barry Odom, the new head coach now at UNLV. I think I'm leaning Kansas plus the 3 here, Kayla. I know that pains you.
I don't know if you all are aware of this, but this should have been the KU versus Mizzou AutoZone Liberty Bowl, and I'm not bitter about it at all.
Not at all.
What could have been, you know? Not super shocking where I'm going in this one. Give me the Razorbacks to cover, which is kind of ironic, seeing as how the SEC is trying to make Arkansas Mizzou's rival. But don't worry, Jayhawks, no one will ever take your place. I'm just begging Arkansas, please do not lose this one to Kansas. Do not embarrass the SEC like that. Am I worried when looking at the players and coaches who won't be playing in this one for the Razorbacks? Yes, I am. Also, by all accounts, the Jayhawks should be playing at nearly full strength. But as we know, I will never pick Kansas. So Arkansas better win and cover or else. I would also lean the under of 69. Arkansas tends to go under in bowl games. This number is higher than their combined average. And the Razorbacks, like we said, won't be playing at full strength.
Kansas 0-4 against the spread the last four times they were an underdog, RJ. Does their sort of skid into the offseason continue, or do they get right against Arkansas?
You know, they had their fun run early in the year. They did kind of stumble down the stretch. Arkansas, I can't figure them out. I mean, they beat Ole Miss, which is a good win. They lose to Liberty. You know, they played dumb against LSU. They lost to Mizzou, no offense. So I can't make sense of them, but you know, this is a home game for them, right? I mean, they're in Memphis. This is an absolute home game for Arkansas. I like the Razorbacks to win. I like them to I like -3.
Okay.
Arkansas. I mean, I think they win this game by more than a touchdown.
All right. Right after that one is over, you'll want to flip over to the San Diego County Credit Union. Told you I'd get all the sponsors in. Holiday Bowl at Petco Park in San Diego. This, in my opinion, guys, is a 2023 Heisman Kickstarter game. I can't wait to watch this. Number 15, Oregon, comes in 9-3 against 9-4, North Carolina. Favored by 14.5. Huge number here. For a brief fleeting moment, we remember Oregon was legitimately in the playoff discussion. An 8-1 start, wins over ranked BYU and UCLA teams. Then they kind of fell apart as Bo Nix got dinged up down the stretch, losing to Washington, losing to Oregon State ugly in the Civil War. They'll be without their OC. Kelly Dillingham has moved on. He's starting to put things together down at Arizona State as their new head coach. North Carolina off to an 8-1 start this year as well. Drake May's getting offered bags of cash by other teams that coaches refuse to name. But he lit up the ACC until their final three games, really, when he went one touchdown to four INTs and was sacked 12 times and lost to Georgia Tech, NC State, and Clemson, of course, in the ACC championship game. I like Oregon in this one. I like the quarterback matchup. I think it'll be fun to watch, but I don't like 14.5 points, RJ. I think I go with UNC to cover.
Totally agree. I think Oregon wins this game by about 9 or 10, but 14.5, I mean, that's more than two touchdowns to give up. That's a lot. That's a lot to give up to the guy, to the team, with a quarterback advantage. I just want to know, who's offered him the $5 million? I hope we find out at some point during this game. Who, name names. You know, Pat,
yes.
Jeff Traylor down at UTSA, name names. You're going to come out and call these guys out for poaching? Name names. I want to hear it. I want to find out who it is. And then banish them. Banish them forever.
North Carolina 0-3 against the spread in their last three games. We just talked about that losing streak for them coming into things, Kayla. Where are you at on UNC and Oregon?
No college kid needs $5 million. That is insane. Short and
okay,
sweet.
Jabbo.
I like – just Jesus. Short and sweet. I like Oregon to cover. Guys, you can't make me laugh. I like Oregon to cover in this one, and it has everything to do with Bo Nix playing, on top of the fact that the Ducks have one of the highest expected bull rates. On the other side of that, I would love to see Drake May have a day, but while he started hot, we all saw him towards the end of the season. Didn't give me a lot of confidence going into this game. Plus, UNC is going to be down too many key weapons, like their starting wide receiver, two starting corners, oh, and their offensive coordinator. While this is one of the higher totals, I'm looking for a shootout in this one. So I kind of like the over of 73. Even if Nix isn't 100%, the Ducks still have the nation's most efficient run game. So let's have some fun out west. Let's go big.
Yeah, let's light up the scoreboard in a baseball park, which, by the way, do we have an opinion on bowl games in baseball parks? I think as long as they're not like cutting off a corner of the end zone to make it fit, I think I kind of like the ambiance of Yankee Stadium or Fenway Park or Petco Park in this case, guys. RJ?
Yeah, I do. I mean, look, you got to give me a reason to go to some of these bowl games. What is intriguing? Like, where would you rather go? To the Liberty Bowl or to Fenway? Like, if you're not going to play in a major bowl, I'd rather go see something historic. No offense to the Liberty Bowl. I know it's very historic and it's about liberty or whatever. But, you know.
Liberty or whatever.
Or whatever. But you
that's
know,
how they wrote it in the Constitution. Give me liberty or whatever.
Or whatever. Like, do I really want to go to Legion Field? Or like Amelia Bowl? No, right. I'd rather go to Yankee Stadium. You know, I know New York and Boston in January and December is probably my least desirable place to be. But
so at least go someplace with some ambiance. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to get back into this discussion about Drake May and some of the things that Mac Brown and Pat Narduzzi had to say this week. Let's save that for maybe a little bit later in the show, maybe even in the second hour. It's a supersized two-hour edition of BetQLU this week as we get you ready with a Super Bowl preview edition. Coming up next, the Texas, the aforementioned pinstripe, plus a bowl full of snack crackers. Alongside Kayla Canarum and RJ Choppy, I'm Chris Mack. This is BetQLU.
This is BetQLU with RJ, Chris, and Kayla here on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
Back to BetQLU with RJ Choppy, Chris Mack, and Kayla Canarum on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
Live every weekend, coast to coast on the BetQL Network. This is BetQLU, wherever you may be in the world, on your Odyssey app as well, AUDACY. You're either listening to the stream right now, or you could download the podcast. You could do that. Subscribe to it. You'll get it every single week because soon we're going to be on to college hoops. We've already talked about it a little bit over the last couple of weeks, but we'll push into high gear once we get through bowl season and the college football playoff national championship. In the meantime, though, we've got a supersized edition of BetQLU this week, a two-hour edition rather than our usual 60-minute version here on the BetQL Network. You can watch on Twitch. You can see RJ Choppy next to me. See how I did that? I just pointed the screen next to me, and there he is. You can see Kayla Canarum below me. You can see my face. I'm Chris Mack. This is how we do it on both Twitch, twitch.tv/BetQL, or on YouTube. Watch us stream there as well. All right, let's push along through into the nightcap of Wednesday, December 28th, Wednesday of that week between Christmas and New Year's, where we're previewing all of these games from. a 9 Eastern, 8 Central kick in Houston. The Tax Act Texas Bowl at NRG Stadium. 7-5 Texas Tech, 8-4 Ole Miss. Ole Miss favored by 3.5. Total on this one high, 69.5. For those that think this is like a home game for Tech, you've never been to Texas. It takes a whole day to drive from Houston all the way out to Lubbock. They might as well be in Colorado and Louisiana. 4-4 Red Raiders had a fourth quarter lead at one point over TCU. People forget this. In Fort Worth in early November, they blew it. Horned Frogs did what they did, came back and won, snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. Red Raiders could have folded at that point down the stretch. But instead, they played their way into the postseason. They won their last three games, a huge 51-48 win over Oklahoma in overtime. Ole Miss trying to come in here with the Lane Kiffin, Conor McGregor swagger walk, but I think he may have been a distraction down the stretch, guys, with all the Auburn rumors heating up. They should have won the Egg Bowl. They didn't. One of the key matchups in this game, obviously, they have a strength in the run game, Quinshon Judkins. But this is an Ole Miss running game going against the Texas Tech defense that was not good against the run. I don't know if that's enough for them. Again, only 3.5-point spread here, Kayla, but I think I like Texas Tech to keep this one close and make it a field goal game.
I'm right there with you. First of all, guys, your girl performed at the Texas Bowl once upon a time. Ooh. Mizzou lost to Navy. It is what it is. Finally, we get a game, though, I feel like, with no notable opt-outs, so that's fun. I also think this is the first one which I'm siding with the underdog, which feels sacrilegious seeing as it's an SEC team, but here we are. I think Ole Miss will win. I can see it just being really close, coming down to the wire. Texas Tech was 7-5 against the spread and 4-3 as the underdog next to Ole Miss, who is 3-6-1 against the spread as the favorite. These are two fun and fast offenses, literally, as both are in the top 13 nationally in plays per minute. But what's that we're always told? Defenses win games, which is why I think the Red Raiders are going to make it tough for Ole Miss and potentially play upset in this one. So you're welcome, Patrick Mahomes.
There you go. RJ, was Lane Kiffin, after the Auburn, rumors, if we want to call him that, I think it was more than just rumors, but you think he was able to refocus? What I think is one of the more talented teams in the SEC, despite what was a big distraction, and then, like I said, they lose the Egg Bowl on that failed two-point conversion. Are they ready to go in this one, or does this come back to a question of motivation that we always talk about in bowl games?
You know, motivation, I always think, is big. It's a huge thing for college programs, but you got to, like, always look at, like, who does the game matter more to? Right. Is Texas Tech's future going to be better off by beating an SEC team or in this case, Ole Miss? Yes, it is. Is Ole Miss going to be like, man, we beat the Red Raiders, dude. Wreck 'em Tech. You know, like, no, they're not, right? That's not – Ole Miss was in the top 15 for a lot of this year. However, like, there does come a point where, like, if you were to just go on paper, if these two teams were to play in, like, late October, Ole Miss would wipe the floor with Texas Tech. These teams don't belong in the same field. One team's got loaded with talent, and then the other team, you know, is in Texas Tech, is in Lubbock. So, I mean, I like Ole Miss here. I like Ole Miss here to cover the 3.5. God bless you. So I like Ole Miss, but, you know, you mentioned there's not really a home field advantage. So I live in DFW. We're closer to Fayetteville, Arkansas than Lubbock.
Right.
Like, that just puts in perspective, like, how far and how big this ridiculous big this state is. So, yeah, it's a long way. Now, there's gonna be fans there. There's, you know, Tech alumni in Houston, but there's,
I mean,
not going to
really
be a huge home field.
I haven't Google mapped it, but I'm guessing Houston is probably just about smack dab in the middle of Oxford and Lubbock. Like, I'll Google map that later. But, like, geographically, this is as easy a commute for both fan bases, probably. I once had to drive from Dallas to Lubbock with my younger cousins in the backseat of my uncle's truck, and it was torture. So, because it's just flat, it's desolate, it's oil derricks, and nothing once you get out past Fort Worth for, what, like 5 hours? Yeah, so you're right.
Yeah, there's nothing it really is. I bet
nothing between DFW and Lubbock.
I bet Mississippi, the state line of Mississippi, is no more than 3 hours from Houston.
Yeah, if you bust it, you're probably right. You're right. If you really step on it. Thursday, and this is, here we go, another one of these ones in a ballpark. Pinstripe Bowl, 2 Eastern, 11 Pacific kick, Yankee Stadium in New York, obviously, the Pinstripe Bowl. 7-5 Syracuse against 8-4 Minnesota. Gophers favored by 10 in this one. I don't know. They strike me as just another Big Ten West, good D, no O kind of team. They didn't beat a single winning team this season. I know Syracuse fell off in the back half of the season after starting 6-0 and then getting klubnicked in the second half at Death Valley and sort of sending them into a spiral. But this is kind of a backyard game for Syracuse. There are a ton of Orange fans that still live in and around New York. I know there are ugly home losses to Notre Dame and Florida State in their memory bank that I think they probably want to avenge. They've lost both coordinators. This one is just a whole lot closer than 10 points, I think. RJ, I'm going to take the Orange to cover against the Gophers.
Yeah, this is a tough one. You know, both teams, it's going to be an outdoor game. Ironically, that suits Minnesota more than Syracuse, even though Syracuse is a cold weather team too. They play in a dome. So, you know, the weather, if it's a factor, right, I think suits Minnesota quite a bit better. I'm just a huge fan of P.J. Fleck. I love his message. I love the way he approaches you know, teaching young men. I'm a huge fan of P.J. Fleck. Give me Minnesota in this one.
Kayla?
Good luck with this one. Syracuse isn't giving me a ton of confidence, having lost both coordinators and their star back, and the part where they dropped 5 of their last 6 games. Meanwhile, P.J. Fleck is 3-0 against the spread in bowl games for the Gophers, and Minnesota has won 4 of their last 5 bowl games. So while I'm unsure of the spread, I could make an argument for both, but what I am sure of is taking the Gophers straight up in this one. So I'm going to stay away from the spread. The total is low. Minnesota went under in 3 of 10 games as the favorite. Both teams average high 20s. So I'm also torn on the total, but I would probably stay away from this one. This one is hard for me to kind of figure out.
Yeah, this is one of the low totals I think I actually like to go under. I just, again, Minnesota, I think another classic Big Ten West, no offense kind of deal. So 42 is, it's tempting me to maybe ride with the under. All right, Thursday afternoon, 5:30 Eastern, 4:30 Central. Cheez-It Bowl, Camping World Stadium in Orlando, 9-3, number 13, Florida State, laying 9 against a 6-6 Oklahoma squad. First time in 3 years the Seminoles have been to a bowl. That's their longest bowl drought, nearly half a century, when they went from 72 to 76 without going to a bowl. And it's a de facto home game, really. Anything in the state of Florida, a home game for the Seminoles, the Gators, and the Hurricanes against the Sooners program that feels like is still staggering from the whole Lincoln Riley, Caleb Williams departure a year ago. Jordan Travis already announced he's going to be back next season for Florida State. Jamie Robinson, Jared Verse, all ACC guys that are going to play as well. I don't know how thin the patience is in Norman for Brett Venables already, but I imagine it'll get much thinner if they end the year with a losing record. I think all the motivation, as we talked about earlier, RJ, is on Florida State's side here, and I do think they smash Oklahoma. I think this is a double-digit win for them, so I have no problem laying the 9, Kayla.
Yeah, it is a weird year for OU when they're going into a bowl game as the 9-point underdog, but the Seminoles will be heading into this one at full strength, while OU will be without a slew of players. Normally, this would be an exciting matchup. I just hope that OU does show up on the field and isn't already looking to put the season behind them. Florida State's going to be fired up to be playing in their first bowl game since 2019 and have a 10-game win season, as mentioned. I think Florida State just has more to play for in this one and will. I would love to go with OU to cover and at least make it interesting, but I don't see that happening. So I like the Seminoles at -9. And I kind of like the over in this one. After all, it's still a Big 12 team taking on a Florida State team who averages nearly 40 a game. So like the Seminoles, like the over.
And a loss for Oklahoma in this one against the spread would make it their worst against the spread season since 2004. They would finish 4-9 against the spread, RJ. You know, I understand there's a lot of change happening in Norman, but when you're the guy who's supposed to be leading forward in the direction of that change, Brett Venables, you better figure it out real quick because the patience is not going to be long there.
It's not. Now, they had a good day in recruiting on National Signing Day. Mm-hmm. From all accounts, they did pretty well. And that's good for them. It's an easy place to recruit. It's 3 hours from Texas, if that. 2 hours. It's a great college town. It's one of the great college towns in America, so it's an easy place to recruit. But it is a disappointment, especially when your former coach was, you know, right there at number 4 going to the final weekend of the college football playoff. It's a tough pill to swallow if you're Oklahoma. But I like Florida State this one for a lot of the reasons that you said. It's a de facto home game. They've got really good talent there. And this is, you know, for the first bowl game in 3 years for them, you know, they might be a little bit dialed up. Oklahoma's used to playing in the Final Four. Do they really care about going to Orlando? Right. You know, probably not. So give me Florida State. I actually like the under in this one. I'll take the under here.
Okay. Total sitting at 65.5. RJ will ride with the under. And I think we're all on Florida State to maybe take it to Oklahoma and maybe the Sooners start to bounce back next year after that strong signing day that you mentioned, RJ. Coming up, hour two of BetQLU's Big Bowl Preview Special. We're going to take an early look at the college football playoff semifinals. And of course, we'll talk about them again next weekend as we get closer to those games. Plus, we'll continue a tradition of ours from the regular season involving a team that RJ mentioned earlier, but that just, I mean, they're really bad at one thing in particular that's kind of important when it comes to the game of football. Do we have maybe a game in peril of being played down in the Lone Star State? In all seriousness, there's something to talk about with one bowl game in particular, plus a couple of ranked matchups between red-hot teams alongside RJ Choppy and Kayla Canarum. I'm Chris Mack. This is BetQLU.
This is BetQLU with RJ, Chris, and Kayla here on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
Back to BetQLU with RJ Choppy, Chris Mack, and Kayla Canarum on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
Live coast to coast on the BetQL Network, wherever you may be in the world, on your Odyssey app, AUDACY. Take us with you in your four-wheel drive sleigh as you head over the hills to grandmother's house or wherever you're going this holiday season. We are previewing the entire week of bowl games between Christmas and New Year's here on BetQLU this week. That's why it's a super-sized, jam-packed two-hour edition of the show, which, don't forget, you can get inside that Odyssey app as a podcast as well. And, of course, you can always watch the show. Yep, just punch us up on Twitch, twitch.tv/BetQL, or on YouTube as well. We left off in the middle of that quadruple header on Thursday, December 29th, alongside RJ Choppy and Kayla Canarum. I'm Chris Mack. The nightcap that day, Thursday night, a 9 Eastern, 8 Central start at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. Valero Alamo Bowl, number 12 Washington, 10-2, heads into the Alamo Dome against 8-4, number 20 Texas, getting points. Oh my, you're kidding. Michael Penix Jr. against Quinn Ewers. Yes, please, I'll take this quarterback matchup all day. Longhorns had their usual up-and-down campaign. We know they gave Bama the scare earlier in the year, culminated in a two-game winning streak at the end of the year, but Bijan Robinson opting out, getting ready for the draft. Huskies, meanwhile, turned around from a nasty 4-8 team last year to a Pac-12 contender, due in no small part to new head coach Kalen DeBoer, and, of course, the addition of Penix Jr., who was second in the country in passing yards, over 4,300 yards. This one for me does not compute. I know, again, de facto home game for the Longhorns right down the road from their campus in San Antonio, but that doesn't do it for me here, RJ. Washington coming in hot, I think. Penix having a great year. Getting points, absolutely. Give me the Huskies here. What about you?
I think, nobody puts the hate on the whiny orange more than me. nobody does. That said, this is exactly the game that Texas wins by 10 points. Oh, this is exactly the kind of game, because they always do. They own these bowl games, and then they get up there and they proclaim, "We're back," and then they go and they go like, you know, 8-4 the following year, like they do every year. This is exactly the kind of game that these tea sippers down there go and win. That's exactly what it is. So I'll take Texas. I know that I love Quinn Ewers. Let me rephrase that. I love his hair. Okay, I love his hair. I'm taking Texas. They got loaded with talent. They've got they've got a talent advantage at just about every position in this game. But you're right. Like, you know, come next year, come first game of the year, you know they're going to disappoint you. Nobody disappoints their fans more than the Texas Longhorn fan team does. But I'll take them in this game because they win when it doesn't count.
Quint Ewers going to have to do all he can in this game to keep Arch Manning at arm's length, you would think, going into next year. Kayla, the total on this one, 67.5. I like the over because, again, I really like Washington in this game. RJ makes a point, though, about Texas, and perhaps this is a spot for them. Again, right down the road from campus for them. They'll definitely have the home field advantage. Where are you on the Alamo Bowl and number 12 Washington and number 20 Texas?
First of all, did RJ call Texas fans tea sippers? And is that an insult? Yeah. What is a tea sipper?
Yeah, that's what they call them. You know, like in the Duke fans call Carolina fans the wine and cheese crowd, right? That's what they used to call them. And then A&M fans call Texas fans tea sippers. Like, they just sip tea. They're uppity. It's an uppity fan base.
I think Kayla's offended because she has a cold right now and she's probably been sipping a lot of tea to soothe
her
voice.
Tea. So
now,
nobody knows.
Now she's
what's wrong she's with sipping tea?
Now she's coming.
Sometimes we
you.
Need it for our health. No, okay. Well, all I have to say is get your popcorn ready for this one. I think we're all in for a treat. Both teams are coming in with a ton of offensive talent. I'm bummed that, yes, Bijan Robinson, among a few other players for the Longhorns, won't be playing, but we should still get a good game nonetheless. I am a little surprised Texas is favored. After all, Washington is coming in ranked higher and should be playing at full strength. I'm kind of all over the map in this one, guys. All the betting stats favor each team. Also, like we said, this will essentially be a home game for Texas. They are the more complete team as the Huskies don't have a super strong defense. I could make an argument for both, which is when I should probably stay away from the spread, but I'm leaning the Longhorns straight up and to probably cover. So give me Texas, hook 'em. Sorry.
I can't believe I'm the only one taking Michael Penix Jr. against the Texas Tea Sippers, but here I am. I think the Huskies pull it off. We'll see. We'll sip some tea afterwards and talk about it maybe. All right. Friday afternoon, an early start. If you're out west on the East Coast, it's a 12 noon kick. The Duke's Mayo Bowl at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. Both head coaches have said, yes, if we win, by all means, you can dump the bucket of mayo on me, which is disgusting. I advocate that if I were a college football coach and they invited us to the Duke's Mayo Bowl, I would go to any other game, maybe even the Liberty or whatever bowl that we talked about earlier, RJ. Right. 8-4 to number 23 NC State Wolfpack against an old ACC conference rival who's now in the Big Ten, 7-5 Maryland. Maryland laying a point and a half here. Interesting. Total at 47.5. These two teams haven't faced each other since 2014 when the Terps left the ACC for the Big Ten. Maryland kind of skidding into this one, losing three of their last four. They didn't beat a bowl-eligible Big Ten team, but their defense could help them here. The only defenses that were better than them in the Big Ten East anyway were Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State. That's not bad company to be amongst. Devin Leary left NC State. He's headed to Kentucky. The Wolfpack have had four different starting quarterbacks this year. They've relied heavily on their defense. They're also without OC Tim Beck, who's headed down to Coastal Carolina to take their head coaching job. I'm not sold on Talia Tagovailoa. He was sacked 20 times in their last four games when this offense struggled to find consistency more often than not. I think I'm on NC State here, especially if you're going to give me a point and a half. Kayla, what about the Duke's Mayo Bowl?
Just based on how banged up NC State is, I'm leaning Maryland to cover. The question mark at quarterback for the Wolfpack has me concerned. NC State scored 22 or less points in six of their last eight games due to that quarterback shuffle. And combine that with Maryland having the slightly better pass defense, I like the Terps in the Mayo Bowl. As for the total, I think it's on point. I would lean the slight over, but I'm not super confident either way on this one.
Yeah, 47.5. I don't know. Feels on point for me as well. I might even lean under on this one because I worry about the consistency of both offenses. Maryland 8-2 against the spread in non-conference games under Mike Locksley, though, RJ. Where are you at on the Mayo Bowl?
I am, first of all, I'm just disgusted that somebody would volunteer to allow to have mayonnaise dumped to me. it gagged me right there. I can't even. I'm gonna vomit for the rest of this segment. I like NC State. You know, and the one stat that really stands out to me that I love the most is that it doesn't really matter who's playing quarterback for them. I mean, they've won games with a bunch of different quarterbacks this year, like you said, four different ones. I love that. That shows that you're a really, really well-rounded team. The system might be bigger than the individual player, and I like NC State to cover.
All right. A couple of us on NC State. We'll see which way it goes. The total, an interesting one as well. All right. An interesting situation, and we're not going to get into the politics of it because we're not into politics. We're into football around here on BetQLU. But the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl being played Friday afternoon, 2 Eastern, noon Mountain Time in El Paso. This is interesting because 8-4 Pitt against number 18 UCLA, they come in 9-3, being played in a city where there is a state of emergency underway right now. They do have a lot of refugees crossing the Mexican border into El Paso. They've had to activate a lot of city resources around this game, the convention center, where they would usually have a pre-bowl fiesta. It's currently housing refugees. I don't know if the fans are going to opt out of this game as so many starters have on both sides, including Pitt's quarterback, Keaton Slovis, who's entered the transfer portal, as Pittsburgh native Phil Jerkovic has moved in from Boston College. For what it's worth, backup QB Nick Patty did all right in the first three quarters of last year's Peach Bowl. But I do wonder if there's a serious question about the atmosphere this game is being played in. We still don't know either about the availability of Dorian Thompson Robinson for UCLA. Pitt, outside of last year under Kenny Pickett, traditionally a run-first offense. This year led by Izzy Abanikanda, over 1,400 yards, 20 touchdowns on the ground. But UCLA's D strong against the run this year. RJ Pitt, 0-5 against the spread in their last five games as an underdog. And again, UCLA laying 3.5 on this one.
You know, I like UCLA. I mean, UCLA was a really solid team all year. Not, you know, and Pitt wasn't. You know, Pitt had some questionable games there. I really like UCLA in this one, assuming it even gets played. Guys, what's going on in El Paso like that? We're pretty shielded from El Paso here in Dallas, Fort Worth. You know, they're closer to California than they are to us. It kind of puts things into perspective how far away it is. But it's, I mean, you can't help but notice what's going on. If they play it, yeah, you're right. I mean, like, are the fans going to even bother showing up to this?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I grew up for a short amount of time, for about 4 or 5 years, down in Brownsville, Texas, which is right on the border. And I remember what it would be like when you would get an influx of people coming across the border. This is more than an influx of people coming across the border. This is a full-fledged, as I mentioned earlier, what they're calling, the mayor is calling in El Paso, a humanitarian state of emergency. So I think a good question about whether the game is played or where it is played as well. As for on the field, like I mentioned, Kayla, UCLA, a strong defense against the run, second in the Pac-12 in yards per rush allowed, but they did give up 7 TDs on the ground in their last 3 losses. That might be the key here for Pitt if they want to keep it close, if they want to cover that 3.5-point spread.
Yeah, quick story time. Stop me if you've heard this before. Guys, I danced at this bowl game.
Is there a bowl game you haven't danced at?
It was just 3. We'll get to another one next week.
Oh, okay.
We drove in 6 charter buses with the Marching Mizzou Band. Longest 48 hours of my life there and back. We had to go around a snowstorm in New Mexico. Oh, yeah, and we lost Oregon State. Mizzou losing in a bowl game? Shocking. Anyway, I digress. I like the Bruins to cover at 3.5. UCLA quarterback Dorian Thompson Robinson has thrown for at least 245 yards in 7 of 12 games. Let's hope he plays. The Bruins have the 6th most successful passing attack and 2nd most successful rush attack, all against a team who doesn't have their starting quarterback or starting defensive tackle who underwent shoulder surgery. So give me the Bruins to cover at 3.5, and let's hope we get this game.
Yeah, let's hope for everybody's sake in El Paso that the game still gets in. All right, Friday afternoon, 3:30 Eastern kick at TIA Bank Field in Jacksonville, the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl. This actually is a really nice matchup, I think. Number 21, Notre Dame, 8-4. 8-4, South Carolina comes in ranked 19th in the country. 2 red-hot teams, really. Shane Beamer finally got the Gamecocks going late in the year after some serious beatdowns at the hands of Georgia and Florida earlier in the year. They beat Tennessee, obviously, and Clemson. Sorry, RJ had to mention it. The Irish, they played their best football down the stretch as well. Their only loss in their last 6 games to USC on the road, but both teams, despite being hot coming in, going to be without some of their best talent. Jaheim Bell, not going to play for South Carolina. He's entered the transfer portal. All-America tight end Michael Mayer for Notre Dame. He, alongside linebacker and career sacks leader Isaiah Foskey, they've opted out to prepare for the draft. So Notre Dame laying 2.5 against South Carolina in this one, guys. I think I like the Gamecocks to stay hotter going into this one in Jacksonville. Kayla?
I like the Gamecocks to cover, and it's all because of a guy by the name of Spencer Rattler. There's too much uncertainty at quarterback with the Fighting Irish, and with both teams missing key players on both sides of the ball, I'm going to side with the team with a more steady quarterback. I don't love that their offensive coordinator won't be calling plays, but I'm going to ride with them nonetheless. Also, South Carolina had the single best start of the season video I've ever seen to the Full House intro, my favorite show of all time. So got to go with them, plus that SEC bias. All great reasons to pick South Carolina.
RJ, South Carolina is favored by Kayla and I, but getting 2.5 in this game. Six straight Notre Dame games have gone over the total. This one sits at just 52. What do you got on the Gator Bowl?
You know what? Spencer Rattler, the way he played down the stretch, I don't know how I would go against South Carolina. I mean, they were putting up points quite a bit. They scored 94 points in back-to-back games against top, well, I guess at the time, top five teams. Yeah. I think it's absolutely tremendous how he finished down the stretch. So I will take South Carolina, and I'll take the over. I'll take the over in this one. Okay. They're going to put up a lot of points in this game. It's not really a there's not really a home field advantage, although Jacksonville not terribly far from South Carolina, but give me the Gamecocks.
Yeah, definitely not too far of a drive for Gamecocks fans that want to make the trip down to Jacksonville, although we know Fighting Irish fans are literally everywhere, and so they will be there as well. Let me get back briefly, real quickly, back into this idea of Drake May being offered $5 million by a couple of schools and coaches not wanting to name those schools. What do we have to do to stop the poaching that's going on? Is there anything we can do to stop it in the world of NIL, RJ?
Yeah, you got to be really, really strict with your punishment, to the point where if you get caught poaching another player that hasn't entered the transfer portal, you don't get to sign a class the following year. Like,
that's huge.
You have to go. Yeah, you've got to go huge. Otherwise, there's no point. Like, they're not going to stop doing it. It's like in the NBA, right? The Knicks got caught tampering with Jalen Brunson. They lost a second round pick. Okay, cool. Like, I'll tamper. Like, you know, you got to make it a penalty, a true penalty.
Consequences have to match the actions. Coming up next, a streaming-only game. Interesting this bowl season. A couple of the big boys, the Orange and the Sugar. Plus, Iowa is back, and they've brought the lowest total of the season with them to Nashville. Alongside RJ Choppy and Kayla Canarum, we've got you covered with a special bonus, supersized two-hour edition of BetQLU.
This is BetQLU with RJ, Chris, and Kayla here on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
Back to BetQLU with RJ Choppy, Chris Mack, and Kayla Canarum on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
We still got to get you our best bets before we get out of here, and another early peek at the college football playoff semifinals. Those moments on the way before we wrap up here on a supersized two-hour edition of BetQLU live coast to coast on the BetQL network. And of course, wherever you may be in the world on your Odyssey app, AUDACY, you can subscribe and download to the podcast there as well, so you never miss an episode as we keep you covered throughout what remains of college football season and into college hoop season, which really steps on the gas in the next couple of weeks here or so. And of course, we're on Twitch too, twitch.tv/BetQL. That's where you can see RJ next to me. I'm Chris Mack. You can see Kayla down there below us as we preview every single bowl game between Christmas and New Year's here on what, again, is a supersized two-hour edition of BetQLU. Let's move it along to Friday afternoon, 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific, the Barstool Sports Arizona Bowl at Arizona Stadium in Tucson. Streaming only on Barstool, you get the pleasure, if you punch it up, of watching 9-4 Ohio laying 1.5 against 7-5 Wyoming. Both of these teams stumbled down the stretch. Ohio lost Curtis Rourke, their quarterback, to injury. Then they lost the MAC championship. An ugly game, a rock fight to Toledo. Wyoming had won four straight to move to 7-3 at one point, but then they had a home loss to Boise, got thumped by Fresno. And I think this is a question of motivation. Matchup of Ohio's run game against Wyoming's run defense could be something fun to watch. Irresistible force, immovable object, all that. Both riding three-game bowl win streaks for whatever that's worth. Kayla, Ohio laying 1.5, and a low total on this one, too, as we talk about running games and defenses, of 43 between the Bobcats and Wyoming.
Yeah, in Ohio, you have a really strong offense, not so much a great defense. However, I still think they have the edge over the Cowboys offensively, a team who averages around 19.6 points per game. They also haven't put up more than 17 points since October. So combine that with Ohio being 5-0 straight up in their last five games as the favorite. And I like the Bobcats to cover here at -1.5. I'm torn on the total, so I'm going to stay away, but I can see both happening. But seeing as how Wyoming hasn't done much offensively as of late, I would kind of lean the under.
Yeah, Wyoming has gone under in five straight for what it's worth. Something to keep an eye on, obviously, as we talk about both offenses struggling this year, RJ.
Yeah, they are struggling. Defenses, I mean, are the defenses even that good on either side? Obviously, the Wyoming run defense is really good. You know, I was gonna lean Wyoming in this one. Really, I have it's kind of a toss up for me, but just I always wanted to go to Wyoming, so I was kind of leaning them. But I'll tell you this: the reason I'm gonna go with Ohio, 58% of the money, the public money, is coming in on Wyoming, and as I've always said, people is morons. So the fade, I'm always betting against people. The public, wherever they go, I go the other way.
A good old public fader, RJ Choppy, and so that'll keep him, you said, away from Wyoming. 58% of the public money on the Cowboys? That's a big number there. Something to keep an eye on. That's one of those tools you can find at BetQL.com, by the way. Plug. Go there. You can check out the sharp money and the public money as well, and where the advantages lie in those games. All right, one of the big boys. Here we go. Friday night, 8 Eastern, Capital One Orange Bowl at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, and it's going to be legit orange. Number 6 Tennessee, 10-2 Volunteers come in against number 7 Clemson at 11-2 ACC champs, laying 6 points. The ultimate battle of orange. It's appropriate it's taking place in the Orange Bowl. And you got a pair of quarterbacks who didn't start the season as their team starters. Obviously, we all know about Cade Klubnik, the true freshman for Clemson, who's basically shoved DJ Uiagalelei out the door to the transfer portal, including coming off the bench in that season-ending loss to South Carolina. We all know about Hendon Hooker, who had to leave due to injury. We'll see how that affects him with the draft right around the corner. I still think he's at the lowest a second-day draft pick. That's a different conversation for a different day, probably. Joe Milton, the third, going to take over for the SEC's Offensive Player of the Year. Big cannon-armed guy who started that regular season finale against Vandy, as well as the first two games of last season, 2021, before he got replaced by Hendon Hooker. Tennessee 9-3 against the spread this season. And they're getting 6. I really like the Vols in this one, RJ. I know that's a stupid question for you.
You know, it is odd, though. We are going to be missing so many guys. Like, so many players have opted out for this one for Tennessee. One interesting thing, this will be the fourth. So we'll have when they kick off, Tennessee will have played the last four national champs. Clemson, wow. LSU, Georgia, and Alabama this year. And if they win the game, they would have gone 3-1 against them. Like, you could, you cute TCU fans, you can keep your this where they got the toughest schedule in the world. No. We had the toughest schedule in the world. We'll be the last four national champs. I'm not upset. I see you smirking. I'm not upset at all about this. It's okay. Whatever. Yeah, but it's just so hard. It's so hard for me to take Tennessee to win this game when they're going to be missing their three best offensive players. But I will.
I think I'm with you on that. Yeah. I think it's hard to take them with all the opt-outs and everything going on. But at the very least, I think I'll take 6 points at Tennessee against Clemson.
I'll take the six.
I'll take the six. Kayla?
I just love that this is the ultimate Orange Bowl. How fun. And two teams I love, as we've known throughout the season. You're
right.
Welcome, RJ. Zach still calls them Fraudson. I disagree. With that said, don't hate me. I'm leaning Clemson to cover. I think they've had less change this postseason, and they looked pretty good with Cade under center in the ACC championship game. The Tigers are 18-2 straight up in their last 20 games as a favorite. You've also got Dabo with 13 years of postseason experience under his belt. This Tigers team is also going for win number 12 for the sixth time in 8 seasons. None of this is a knock on the Vols and what they've accomplished this season. I just think one team is more seasoned when it comes to bowl games as of late.
All right, New Year's Eve in a game that we may touch on again next weekend, but let's get it out of the way now because we love the Iowa Hawkeyes around here. Well, we don't love the Iowa Hawkeyes so much as we love betting the under on Iowa, and this game, the ultimate under play if you have the guts to go there. Noon Eastern on New Year's Eve, the Transperfect Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium in Nashville, Kentucky against Iowa. Iowa favored by 2.5. That's not the lead here, though. The lead is 31. 31 points is the total. Lowest total of the year. We thought Iowa couldn't get any lower on totals than they got a couple times this regular season. They will. Why? Because Cade McNamara ain't there yet. So who's going to play quarterback? Spencer Petras' shoulder injury. Junior Alex Padilla entering the transfer portal has them scrambling. We'll see what they end up doing. We know their defense is good. Gave up less than 15 points per game, led by Jack Campbell, 115 tackles against a Kentucky offense that wasn't very good even when Will Levis was in there. But now they're without Will Levis. So where do they go at this point? 7-5, the Wildcats. Their defense very strong as well, ranked second against the pass in the SEC, less than 174 yards per game. I know exactly where I'm going on this one, guys. Maybe it's the stupid play. Maybe they are just toying with me, dangling the shiny object in front of my face, daring me to take it, but I'm taking it anyway. Give me the under 31 on Kentucky and Iowa. Give me a tasty little, 13-10 kind of game. Kayla, what do you think?
Chris, you can't help yourself, can you?
I can't. I'm sorry.
This one feels like it might be hard to watch. Seeing as how both teams don't put up high numbers offensively, then you take away their first, second, third, whatever string quarterbacks. What are we doing here? This feels rough already, and we haven't even started. Like, do we even have to pick one of the teams to win? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pick Kentucky to pull out the upset because when push comes to shove, you got to go in conference. I also like that the Wildcats are 10-4 straight up in their last 14 against Big Ten opponents and 5-1 against the spread when going in as the underdog this season. So as for the total, do I dare take the under? I kind of want to for fun, but surely the over will hit, right? I mean, this is tough. Let's go under.
Ride or die. Iowa 8-2-1 against the spread when the line is 3 or less either way since 2020, RJ. I do think even though their offense stinks and they'll be on quarterback number 3 or 4 or 5, who knows, that I think in tight games, they pull it out more often than not. So I think I'm going to lean Iowa, even laying the 2.5 to maybe pull out a field goal game here. And yes, I'm all over the under. What about you?
I am on the under as well. I have taken the under in this game, and I am also going to take Kentucky to cover. This is a home game. This is in Nashville. Kentucky fans travel like you have never seen. It's as if they're either, this must be the richest state in the world where none of the people there work because they have no responsibilities whatsoever. Because on any given day, if given the opportunity, they'll be in LA to follow their team. They don't care. They've got either so much disposable income or no job and just money to spend or don't care. They just take time off. I don't know. I'm taking Kentucky, though. Home field advantage. They're a good team. And Iowa, dude, they couldn't score on air. Give me the under and give me Kentucky. They might win 10-7.
Team under. We are in on the Music City Bowl under 31. I absolutely love it. All right, another big dog game at the Caesars Superdome in New Orleans, New Year's Eve at noon. All-State Sugar Bowl. You got 10-2 Bama, number 5 in the country, against number 9 Kansas State, the 10-3 Wildcats, coming off a loss in the Big 12 championship game to TCU. Bama favored by 6, total sitting at 56. Will the Wildcats get creative with the 2-quarterback system against Bama? I don't know. There's Will Howard. There's Adrian Martinez. There's Kansas State 4-0 in a Big 12 title with Howard. There's also what Martinez did early in the season. And is he healthy enough to come back into this one? An extended layoff, he could be called upon. You got guys not opting out for Bama, which I think is a huge story. Bryce Young, chief amongst them. I think I like this to be a close game, but I think in the end, we end up getting Bama putting it away late and even covering the 6, RJ.
You know, I actually like I like K-State to cover this one.
Okay.
When Alabama doesn't have stakes on their game, Alabama doesn't show up. Which is surprising under Nick Saban. This is such a huge game for K-State. This is one of the biggest games K-State has ever played as a universe, as a school. It really is. Like, they're going up against Alabama. They're going to go up. The Big 12, make no mistake about it. Bob Stoops has always said, the Big 12, when they get a chance to play an SEC team in a bowl game, they go all in. Texas did it against Georgia a couple years ago. We've seen Oklahoma go work Alabama before when they had Trevor Knight. We saw Utah work Alabama before in the Sugar Bowl under when Nick Saban was there. It's the same song. I've seen the ending of this book. Nick Saban's going to lose this game because they don't care about non-BCS or whatever they call it now, playoff games. They don't care.
Right. You know, it's a great point you make, but I wonder if there's a change in philosophy, being that this is a year where there's disappointment coupled with guys who are doubling down on playing in this thing before the draft. Bryce Young, Will Anderson. I still lean Bama to cover the 6 in the end. I do think it's going to be a really good game, Kayla, but I'm still on the Bama lean -6. What about you?
Right there with you. I mean, we always hear the momentum means everything when going into big games like this. And I would say right now the momentum is definitely running with the Wildcats, but am I really going to pick against Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide? While they're not playing for the national championship, they are still playing in a bowl game, and surely Saban won't let this team sleep on K-State. I think Bama wins, but is the question whether or not the Wildcats cover? All the betting stats point towards yes, like going 5-0 against the spread in their last 5 with top five opponents and covering in their last 4 straight. So while there is a scenario in my head where Alabama stomps them, I feel like every other sign is pointing to K-State to cover at +6. The fact that they are playing at full strength bodes well for them, but you know what? When all is said and done, I can't do it. I'm still picking Bama to cover in this one at -6. I can't go against Saban and the Crimson Tide as much as I want to.
Yeah, you make a great point, RJ, again, about Bama playing in games without stakes. And we've talked about motivation and how huge that is in bowl games especially. For some reason, maybe it's just because the big names are coming back for this one, that it feels like things may be a little different in Tuscaloosa around this one. We'll find out on New Year's Eve. And then after New Year's Eve, well, actually on New Year's Eve, after that one's over between Alabama and K-State, we've got the semifinals, the Fiesta Bowl between Michigan and TCU, and the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl between Georgia and Ohio State. Another early preview of those two games on the way, plus a unique market to play if you think you've got an angle on both of those two semifinal games. Coming up next, live coast to coast on the BetQL network, wherever you may be in the world on your Odyssey app, alongside RJ Choppy and Kayla Canarum. I'm Chris Mack, and this is BetQLU.
This is BetQLU with RJ, Chris, and Kayla here on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
Back to BetQLU with RJ Choppy, Chris Mack, and Kayla Canarum on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
Alongside RJ Choppy and Kayla Canarum, I am Chris Mack, and this is BetQLU live coast to coast on the BetQL Network. And of course, subscribe, download the podcast inside your Odyssey app as well, AUDACY. If you're listening to us live right now on the app, yeah, go in there. Subscribe to it. You'll get it delivered to you as soon as the show is ready every single weekend. Next weekend, we'll be back on our regular 1 hour schedule. We'll still have some great games to talk about, including the college football playoff semifinals, including the Rose Bowl. We'll have you covered next weekend, no doubt. But this weekend, a special 2 hour supersized edition of BetQLU. We have rolled through every single bowl game between Christmas and New Year's Day, and we will wrap it up in just a moment here with the two college football playoff semifinals games, the Fiesta Bowl between Michigan and TCU, and the Peach Bowl between Georgia and Ohio State. An interesting market, though, I saw at BetMGM just the other day, guys. You can bet on the exact combination and winner of the CFP. In other words, you could pick Georgia to beat Michigan at plus 125. That would be the favorite. You could go all the way down the line to TCU to beat Ohio State at plus 3,500. So 35-1 odds for that to be the outcome. The other double underdog outcome, Ohio State beating TCU, I guess if you want to call it that, is 14-1. But the three longest odds all involve TCU in some form or fashion. And the three shortest odds, the three shortest odd scenarios, all include Georgia somehow. What would be the most surprising of these, I guess, eight different matchups that exist on the board for how we would expect the national championship to go down? RJ, I'll start with you.
The most surprising matchup? I would assume it's Ohio State TCU would be the most surprising, right? I mean, that's just, but I guess none of them are really like stunning.
TCU to beat Georgia, for example, is 22-1. TCU to beat Ohio State is 35-1. I understand why TCU to beat Ohio State is longer odds because, well, the odds of Ohio State beating Georgia are longer. But, like, the most improbable of all eight possibilities for the national championship game, in my mind, is TCU somehow beating Georgia. So, like, in my mind, I look at that and see just a sliver of value. Like, one of those, you know, you talk about your pizza money parlays. Like, that's a pizza money bet right there. It's like, do I want to sprinkle just a couple bucks just in case, you know, everything goes haywire, everything goes crazy, and somehow TCU beats Georgia in the national championship, and I can turn 10 bucks into 220. I don't know. Kayla, are there any of these matchups? Do you see value in any of these?
No, I'm a realist.
Yeah.
Just kidding. There's just no way I could get on board with anything wild happening in these two games. I just don't see it.
Although, I guess if you believe that things are going to go chalk and Georgia's going to beat Michigan, you could do a whole heck of a lot worse than the plus 125 favorite there and get better than even money, RJ, to get what everybody expects to happen.
You could. And look, I think I think if you were going to go to Georgia beating TCU, getting 5-1 there, that's pretty good. I also think – I'll tell you one thing. If Ohio State's able to get by Georgia – Michigan to beat Ohio State's 11-1.
Yeah.
That is like, wait a second. They just doubled them up. Right. It's not going to take, it's not lunacy for Ohio State to be able to beat Georgia. And
no,
it's certainly, if they do, not crazy for Michigan to beat Ohio State again at 11-1. So I really like that one. I think that'd be there's some value there.
Anyway, just one of the very many interesting markets around the CFP National Championship. Go check it out inside your BetMGM app right now. All right, let's take a quick look anyway, just a few minutes on each of the two college football semifinals, because we will go even more in-depth. I know we touched on them last week and some of the early lines. We'll obviously go very in-depth on these two games next week in advance of them actually being played. But the David Goliath matchup, obviously, that we've talked about, the first game of these two semifinals to kick on New Year's Eve, 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific, the VRBO. Is it VRBO or Vrbo, by the way? Have I been saying it wrong, saying VRBO, Kayla? Yeah.
I think it's both. I always hear both. Vrbo.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with VRBO. The VRBO Fiesta Bowl at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. Can TCU withstand Michigan's Big Ten strength, their big boy strength, especially up front? Can Michigan keep up with TCU's Texas speed? I don't know. Cincinnati held strong against Bama last year in the semifinal, but eventually cracked and never really threatened to win the game, certainly. I don't know. Can this year's Cinderella continue their improbable run and make history? TCU getting 7.5. It's down to 7.5 now, the total at 58.5. RJ, you've been out against TCU all year, but here they are in a college football playoff semifinal against the Wolverines.
Yeah, and look, TCU, I think stylistically can play with Michigan. They play a style, I think, that can help them win this game. Michigan, if you remember, like, go back to the Ohio State game. That score was a blowout, but they threw the ball up and over the top of Ohio State defenders that were not respecting the pass at all. I don't think they do that on TCU. They're not going to be able to score quick like that. I think it's a much lower scoring game. I think TCU covers the 7.5 here. I don't know if they win the game, but I think they cover this spread. I don't see this thing getting away from them. And I put the hate on TCU a little bit. It's like, you know, you wanted them to get to a certain point. It was like, just did. Okay. There's some of their close games were getting to me, but they're tested in these close games. And this is going to be a close game. And we can't forget, a week before they blew out Ohio State, they almost lost to Illinois, man, Michigan.
Right.
Like, this team could put up a stinker on you. They really can.
They can, but they can hit the big plays now, too, like you talked about. They proved that they could do that, that JJ could put the ball down the field and that they could get you over the top. Maybe that's more on an indictment of Ohio State secondary. I don't know, but Kayla – 7.5, and it's coming down a point since this thing opened. It feels like things are moving in the Horned Frogs' direction just a little bit.
Yeah, just bottom line, Michigan's the better team. They have a coach with more bowl and championship experience as of late. In bowl and playoff games, postseason coaching experience 100% matters. You know, I know they'll be without Blake Corum, who is done for the season, but running back Donovan Edwards has shown just as much explosion. So, I know that David and Goliath's story would be incredible. I just don't think this TCU offense is going to be – I think they are going to be challenged in a major way against Michigan defense that only allows just 13.4 points and 85.2 rushing yards per game. I don't see TCU covering, but it would be cool. I just think Michigan is going to – I would love a close game. I just think Michigan will cover.
The second half, the nightcap of our college football playoff semifinals on New Year's Eve, kick just after 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific at the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. I mean, this is basically Georgia's backyard. They've played, it feels like, as many games there as they have in Athens. 13-0, undefeated Bulldogs come in ranked number one, laying 6.5 points against 11-1, fourth-ranked Ohio State. You know, usually these games, guys, and we talk about it a lot, are about who has the better quarterback. Okay, Stetson Bennett IV against C.J. Stroud. I think Stroud will be better in the NFL or at the NFL level. I think right now that's a fairly even matchup. So you go to then which team has the next best player on the field. In my opinion, Jalen Carter is showing everyone why he's the most talented player on last year's Georgia defense. 6'3", 300 pounds. Capable of taking over games, which we saw since he came back from injury this season. During the last 5 games, 23 tackles by Carter, 7 of them for a loss, 3 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and 14 quarterback hurries. We did see C.J. Stroud, when he had some pressure around him in a pinch late against Michigan, perhaps tried to do too much and melted down just a little. 6.5, I think, may be a bit much for me, but if I was forced to take a side on this Peach Bowl semifinal, RJ, I think I would lean Georgia minus the 6.5.
I'm taking Georgia in the 6.5. You know, Ohio State does have a lot of good players. I'm wondering, though, if Ohio State's problem is their head coach. He got the job from Urban. Urban said he took the Ohio State program to a level that even Jim Tressel didn't take it to. And Ryan Day's continued. I mean, he's done a really nice job, you know, being able to get players in there. But they don't play prepared all the time. I don't know how good of a coach he is. I do know how good of a coach Kirby Smart is. I think that, you know, yeah, C.J. Stroud's probably a better player than Stetson Bennett. I'm sorry, Stetson Fleming Bennett IV. I think he's a better player, but I'll take Georgia the 6.5.
All right, Kayla, what do you got? You going with us on Georgia covering the 6.5?
I'm right there with you. Bulldogs were better than average against the spread this season, 7-6, and were perfect 4-0 straight up and against the spread in games where they were favored by fewer than 20 points. Not only that, but they outscored their opponents 171-65 in those games. Buckeyes, on the other hand, stumbled to the finish line when it came to the spread, covering in just one of their final five games, which included a 22-point straight-up loss to Michigan, as we talked about, and at -9, an unimpressive 21-7 win over Northwestern. So I can't count out the Bulldogs just yet. I'm going to pick them to cover in this one.
All right, before we wrap it up, and again, we'll dive even deeper into those semifinal games next weekend here on our usual one-hour edition of BetQLU. Before we leave you, though, our best bets of, well, the week as a whole, bowl week. I'll lead us off, guys. I mentioned it earlier, Liberty Bowl. I love Kansas +3 against Arkansas. I still think there's a ton of motivation on their side. And Lance Leipold, even though they struggled down the stretch, I think has found something there against an Arkansas team that feels maybe unmotivated, like they didn't quite achieve what they wanted to this year after a decent start. I'll take the Jayhawks. RJ?
For my best bet, I got New Mexico State getting 3.5 points. I like New Mexico State to cover over Bowling Green.
Kayla, who you got?
I'm doubling down on that Bama K-State game. This is the first time they're going to face each other on the football field. Crimson Tide have a 45-27-3 record across 75 bowl appearances, next to the Wildcats' 10-13 record across 23 bowl appearances. I think this is where the difference between the Big 12 and SEC will be on full display. Bama -6.
I like it, guys. It's been an absolute blast spending some extra time together this holiday season. We'll get back on schedule next weekend, another one-hour edition of BetQLU heading your way. And again, the college football playoffs will eat up a big chunk of that time. Wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, whoever you're spending this holiday season with, we thank you for doing it with us here at BetQL. Next weekend, I mentioned, we're back to take on those semifinals in the last few bowl games. Alongside Kayla Kinnerum and RJ Choppy, I'm Chris Mack. This has been BetQLU.
This is BetQLU with RJ, Chris, and Kayla, here on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.